I believe that the universe gives us opportunities to learn through these mistakes that we make, and either we learn them or it's going to give us a harsher, more painful lesson. So writing the books is really about owning the lesson so I can go on to something new and not having the same lesson over and over again.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome to the My Future Business Show. My name is Rick Nusky, and my special guest today is Damian Lupo. How are you, Damian?
I'm good, Rick. It's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to see your good self on the screen there. Damian, what's been happening in your world?
A lot of disruption, which is, I think, a theme for the planet right now. There's just so many things being disrupted. So I'm doing my best to get ahead of the curve and think about the future and where things are going so that I'm not run over by a train like I was in 2008, because I was really kind of standing still. And I think that that's something that everybody really should be thinking about. So I'm doing a lot of that, a lot of thinking on paper and a lot of thinking into the future and disrupting myself before somebody else does.
And we're talking about, I assume, the global financial crisis back in 2008. Would that be right?
It was a bit of a personal global crisis in my own brain. And absolutely.
Look, I'm looking at your write-up here. Before we jump into the nuts and bolts of our topic today, which is, in fact, developing 35 businesses and what you would do if you lost everything, I'd love to learn a little bit about you personally, what you do in your time away from your business life. Would you be able to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's what's funny is that I think there's a lot of a myth around this whole work-life balance, and I've integrated them. So when I'm not doing something with business, if I'm not talking to a client or meeting with a team or something, I'm generally thinking about it because there's an obsession, and the obsession isn't just because I'm trying to make money like I was back in my 20s when it was all about the next million. It's really about feeding this mission. And so I wake up sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning excited about doing it. And when I'm at the gym, I'm thinking about it. The only time I'm really not in the space of thinking about what I'm doing for that mission is when I'm teaching martial arts or going into that space of connecting with people at the dojo or on the mat. That's a different, it's kind of a different spiritual experience for me. So that is where I go into probably the most flow that I'm ever in. Mm-hmm. And it's my alter ego, but it's really one and the same.
I love your necklace there from my recollection that indicates your progression as a master and your commitment to your craft. Is that correct?
Yeah, the necklace is it's Yokido. It's the martial art that I created a number of years ago, and it's funny because when you do something long enough, like Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000 hours, mm-hmm. and there's this mastery. I think 10,000 hours really just proves that you're a committed student of something.
So I, like when I
crossed 10,000 hours with martial arts and achieved the black belt, I thought, wow, this is interesting. But truly, I've just proven to myself that I'm a committed student. And Yokido was what happened after the next 10,000 hours, that I had this thing inside me that was bubbling up and wanted to be released. And it was really my own energy coming out, because 20,000 hours of something, you're going to create your own essence that is not like anything else that ever existed.
It's unique to you, isn't it? I have a 6-year-old and he's a white belt right now, believe it or not. He's on his journey. And, one of the things we're doing it for is not the ability to, learn how to fight, but on the polar opposite was to give him some ability to control self and have a little bit of calmness and presence in who he is as an individual. How does this transfer for you personally in your business life?
Well, it's what you just said, that the three pillars of Yokido are presence, relationship, and lethal kindness. And the first two, the presence in business, if you're not present, then you're missing everything and you're not able to actually use core strength to be connected to purpose or vision or anything. And you end up getting knocked all over the place because you're not really grounded. And then with relationship, I think a lot of times we end up focusing on the transaction or the end of whatever it is, the exit, instead of being in a deep relationship and thinking about how you're going to interact with people long term. So those two pillars of the training, where in relationship, you're really moving away from conflict. Because I think when you're talking about transactions, oftentimes there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of tension. And when you let go of that and you're working with people, because really business is about serving people and going into a relationship with people and figuring out how to serve them. So oftentimes that means there's no sale. It means you're serving the relationship. And that's what creates the magic of fulfillment versus just maybe the success of ringing the cash register. So these are really the same thing, whether it's in the dojo and you're connecting with people and you're creating this relationship, or you're in business. And definitely the presence. If you don't have presence, you're dead, because you're going to get knocked off.
I often hear this, or, you know, this, how do I get sales? How do I get into business? And it's very inward focused. I think a lot of people have a lot to learn about, especially beginner entrepreneurs and, you know, existing struggling small businesses, about the idea of focusing on the customer first.
Yeah, you're right. That's the key. It's funny because it shouldn't be that complicated for people to understand that. And yet we look at things, we tend to, if you think about sales objectives and goals, we're oftentimes focusing on the end result, which is the KPI, the key performance indicator, the revenue, the number of sales. And what we really should be thinking about is the driver, and falling in love with the driver, which is really the interactions, and how many times can you serve, and how deep can you serve. And when you do that, the KPIs take care of themselves if you're on the right path and you're doing something that the market actually cares about. So we really need rethinking how we're focusing on our objectives. And people that are sales managers or small business owners should be asking themselves, what are the things that we can fall in love with that we can actually control? And that's the drivers. That's the daily things that you're doing.
I know that you've been deeply involved in dozens, literally dozens of businesses. Could you tell us a little bit about your journey from, I guess, the first one to where you are now?
Well, the first one I can remember, Rick, was when I was 11 years old. And that was, it was one of those things where there was a problem and I needed to solve it. The problem was I wanted to play video games, and my parents told me we were broke. And I said, well, that doesn't work for me because I want to play Nintendo. And so Super Mario and I got together basically by me going out and buying Nintendo games from people that were selling them used, and then playing them and then reselling them for markup. It was the first time that I went out to do a business, not thinking I was doing a business. It was more just about playing the game. And there's been different versions of that over the years where I found a problem. Like when I was in college, I found that the universities were charging a lot of money for their books, and I thought this is a crime. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go into business to change that and make a better business. And I did, and people liked it, except the university didn't like the fact that I put the bookstore out of business. So they asked me to leave. And I just realized at that point, I am not supposed to be part of the system. I'm supposed to be disrupting the system.
Yeah, no, that's great insight. Thank you so much. And this is the thing that, you know, I often, the mission for my future business is to help those who feel the same way. They don't fit in, you know, they're the circle in the square, if you like. And I wonder, you know, when you talk about starting a business, can anyone, I guess, start a business? Is it inbuilt in all of us to be able to do what you've done?
It is. Not only can we really have to, because the idea of being an employee is becoming less and less relevant. We have to be thinking like an entrepreneur. We have to be thinking about how we're going to create value. Simply being in a system and saying, I'm here and I exist, therefore I deserve some type of compensation, is an old industrial age idea that's going to be, it's basically going to be obsolete if it isn't already. So I think we have to find that in ourselves, and is whether it's the side thing that we're doing in the evenings, or we're creating something, whether it's writing a book, or it doesn't really make any difference, but we have to start developing the skills and tools around that, and then create something, because otherwise we're just going to get run over and we're going to be doing what a lot of people are doing now, which is looking to the political leaders to solve the problem. And that is a really bad idea.
And this is the crux of the whole call today, is because this is your whole credo, your whole mission is to help people create their sort of wealth profile, if you like, their portfolio of wealth, but using less traditional approaches.
Yeah, I mean, the idea with financial freedom, and when people are doing business, I think a lot of times we do it because sometimes it's an accident where we end up in business, or sometimes we like the idea of business. but we really aren't, we kind of maintain these shackles, these financial shackles, even when we're in business. Mm-hmm. And my mission is to help guide people towards unshackling their own shackles, you know, yep. these cuffs that they've put on. And it has everything to do with confidence, because once we develop the muscle around certain things with money, creating wealth, then you really can't take that away. You could take all of my money away, all of my stuff, mm-hmm. but you can't take away the confidence, because I've built the muscle, and the muscle doesn't go away just because I happen to be, you know, stripped of my clothes. I can mm-hmm. still go out there and create something. And that's the point. It's that once we create the confidence muscle, somebody is free. And that's what is missing in this conversation around creating cash and assets and cash flow. And it's really the confidence more than anything.
Is there an unlearning to this process as well for people?
I think it a little bit of it is an unlearning, and it's not the belief system around the belief system that if you have a certain amount of cash, or if you have a certain amount of cash flow, then everything is good. And that's not true. If I hand you a business right now mm-hmm. that is producing $20,000 of free cash flow per month, that's interesting. And you might think, great, that will cover all my bills. But there's no confidence that you could actually maintain that, or you could recreate it, or you could deal with it if it started going downhill, because you haven't actually put the time in. You haven't actually developed any muscle or any intelligence around execution. So it's not having the thing. It's having the belief and trust in yourself to actually do the thing.
Mm. I know it comes back to the experiences that I've seen both in corporate and in private business. You know, it's having this commitment's one thing, abilities the other. And what about having others around you help you build this wealth profile? Is that important, or can you do this by yourself?
I think doing it by yourself, even if you can, is a mistake. It's a hard enough thing to do, period. And then when you do it by yourself, I think there's a lot of second guessing. There's a lot of stumbling, and just having people around. I mean, really, business is a team sport anyway. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times what happens, especially when people are smart, is they say, well, I can do this better than other people. And it'd be like one of your guests that you recently had, Garrett Sutton. Mm-hmm. One of the best attorneys out there. And one of the reasons that Robert Kiyosaki has had him for so long is because he's a great team member. And if somebody says, well, I can be my own attorney, that's crazy. I mean, you're literally going to do brain damage to yourself by trying to do your own legal work.
Yep.
So it takes the fun out of it when you do everything yourself. You just wear yourself out.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was a short but very informative call, I must say, with Garrett. But it was so on point. You need to build and have a team around you. If you're not a specialist attorney, or you're not good at design, or you're not good at finance, go and get those people. That's the takeaway for everybody who's listening to the My Future Business show today. Now, I've done something, and I apologize. What I should have done at the very start of the call is mention this wonderful little black box that I'm staring at right now, and it has a gi on one side and a suit in another and a black belt around it. And it contained two books, Reinvented Life, which was one of yours, and The Quick and Dirty Guide to Gold and Silver. So thank you very much personally from me for those. I really appreciate that. But not only that, I got a little note, and, you know, it was a very, very nice gift. I do appreciate that. When we talk about your books, are these the only two, or have you done others?
No, there are others. It's one of the reasons that I write books is to clarify my thinking mm-hmm. and to help me understand what I know and what I think I know. Because when you write, it's funny how you realize, wow, I'm not really that clear. And it takes a lot of work to go from where you think you're clear to actually having a book where somebody else could understand what kind of language you're speaking. So I do that. I also do it with Reinvented Life. When Chris and I wrote that book, it was to understand the lessons that we'd learned so that we didn't have to do them again. I believe that the universe gives us opportunities to learn through these mistakes that we make, and either we learn them or it's going to give us a harsher, more painful lesson. So writing the books is really about owning the lesson so I can go on to something new and not having the same lesson over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I keep writing the books. There are a number of them. I've got a couple that are coming out later this year. And it's taking what I'm learning and giving it to other people so that not everybody has to do the exact same things, the same mistakes. There's plenty of mistakes for all of us to make. They're unique. We don't all need to make the same mistakes.
No, there is some commonality, and I'm halfway through Reinvented Life. And it's really nice. It's refreshing to be able to look through your eyes and Christopher's eyes as well and get those takeaways. So I'm really enjoying those books. Now, when we are looking at the gold and silver and you know, all these other different investment options, are they for everyone, or when we're starting out to build our wealth, should we be looking at just one particular type of wealth creation strategy?
I think we need to start out with a broad awareness, and this is one of the things that I like to talk about a little bit, because it's different than the law of attraction. There's a law of awareness, and it's really about becoming grounded, like we talked about with presence, and then seeing to your left and your right and all over, and understanding there's a lot more out there than what you know and what you think is true. So asking, okay, what else might be true, and then seeing these things. So in terms of investments, there's a whole world of stuff that we can look at. So I never know when somebody says, what should I do? I say, I don't know. I have no idea, because I don't know who you are. You know best. What I do know is that there's something special, like with the book. One of the reasons that I sent you the book on gold and silver, and one of the reasons I wrote that is because gold and silver is God's money. And I heard Robert Kiyosaki say this, and I totally agree with him. I was actually on a boat with him a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this, that there's something that it's almost a spiritual experience when you're holding gold and silver. And for me, that is a good sign that everybody on the planet should connect with it, because most of our entire monetary system is all fiat. It's all made up, and we work really hard for these dollars or yen or euros or whatever we're doing. And we're really missing the point that it's energy. And it's created out of thin air, unless it's gold and silver. And there's something real about that that doesn't exist with the money that we're working so hard for. So I think it's important, as part of our grounding process, to actually hold gold and silver. It could be a small amount. It might be one coin. But I think it's valuable for everybody to have that experience and connect with something that's bigger and more long-lasting than they are.
Yeah, it seems to be, nowadays we're talking a lot about digital currencies, fiat currencies, cryptocurrencies, and they are all trying to tie it back into this whole idea that, like gold, cryptocurrencies and those sorts of things will also become more valuable in the future. What's your take on that sort of thing?
I think our monetary system is changing, and I think that it's important for us to be involved. When things started to heat up with Bitcoin a couple of years ago, and it was getting traction, I had some experiences with some banks that out of nowhere decided to shut down some of the company accounts. And I realized how vulnerable I was, that the business that was shut down, not because we did anything wrong. In fact, we had our best month ever. Mm-hmm. And they just decided they didn't want to be in a relationship with the type of business that we had.
Yep.
And I thought, that's interesting. And that's dangerous that these banks have that much control and there's nothing you can do about it. So our system is changing with the cryptocurrency. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know that I want to be a part of it so that I'm not just run over and I'm not left behind. That's why I transferred some of my assets into crypto, because I want to be a part of it. If your money is into something, you're going to pay attention. If your money's not, you really won't learn. So I'm in it, and I know that it's changing. I don't think we're going to recognize our monetary system in a decade. I think it's going to be completely different. I think it's going to be pretty decentralized, and I think it's going to be a lot more in people's hands than it is the governments. I think governments and central banks are losing control, and that's why they're trying to get ahead of this. But I think the cat's out of the bag. Pandora's box is open.
Of course, I look at the likes of Goldman Sachs, who have just put their finger in the pie as well, and I think that's kind of ironic, isn't it? To have somebody like Goldman Sachs going,
I want to
be involved in cryptocurrencies.
Well, every bank is doing it. When Jamie Dimon at Chase said, this is crazy, and if anybody does this in my bank, then they're going to be fired. And then meanwhile, they're spending millions of dollars developing their own technology and getting involved. And all the banks are trying to figure out how to control this, and they all want to make money off of it. Mm-hmm. So it is a little ironic that they're fighting it, but they're not really fighting it. They're just they want to own it and control it. And I don't think that's going to ultimately happen.
No, I don't think so. And I love the underlying technology of the blockchain behind all of these things. As a wealth creation expert yourself, and I'm sure you're closely looking at blockchain technology as well.
Yeah, if somebody is trying to figure out what's actually going on with the crypto and the blockchain, you can think of it this way, that crypto is like email to the internet is crypto to blockchain. blockchain has the ability to take away all of these intermediary controlling mechanisms like title and escrow companies, barristers, attorneys, all these people that create a lot of friction. All the blockchain really streamlines things, and it creates a lot of privacy and a lot of fluid interaction so that the economy can run globally a lot better than when you have all these delays and these expenses and the friction points that we currently have. So I think the blockchain has the potential of really creating a lot of transparency and a lot of wealth for the entire planet and not just for a few people like it is right now.
It seems very consistent with your overall strategy of using uncommon wealth creation strategies to be deeply involved in these areas. So thank you for sharing that a little bit with our audience. I'd love to know what is happening in your business right now. What are you up to?
Well, the biggest thing that I'm doing is I'm asking a different question. The question that I was asking for like the last 5-6 years was, how do I provide individuals the tools to create wealth and freedom? And I was doing it with really kind of a small mind. A few years ago when my father passed away, we had this conversation and he said, you know, there were just so many things that I wanted to do. And he had a few weeks left, and I saw regret and I saw I felt it. I mean, it hurt really bad. What that did for me was it gave me this appreciation for not playing all out and not really going full bore, you know, really playing to win and playing small. And so I started asking, okay, well, what am I doing? Because I don't want to have that as my conversation. When I'm in my last days, I want to look back and go, that I gave it everything.
I killed it.
And,
I
killed it. It was just totally me. And there's no potential left. So what I'm doing now with business is finding ways to touch more people. And so the platform that's being built is a digital platform that allows anybody on the planet to effectively be mentored by me. I've been doing things one-on-one. I've been teaching people and giving them tools, but I haven't been able to touch enough people. And so I'm putting a lot of energy and resources and thinking into creating these digital platforms. So anybody, whether they're in Sydney or Sacramento or Nairobi, they can access this. And I'm giving that to the planet because I think everybody has a right to be free, especially financially free.
This whole idea of a borderless business is very attractive, isn't it, nowadays?
It is. I mean, it's fascinating when you do more commerce, when you're connected to people, wars stop happening. And when you block people from doing business together, it's like you don't go to war with your neighbor. Like the United States and Canada are not going to go to war because we're our biggest trading partners. Mm-hmm. And if we can think about doing voluntary trade and working together, all of a sudden, there's a huge resistance to ever going to war because there's so much cooperation. So philosophically, I believe that liberty is served best by us finding ways to voluntarily interact with commerce and create relationships and partnerships and just voluntarily make those decisions. It creates peace on earth in a kind of an interesting way. And so that's what my focus is.
That's fantastic insight. I also wonder from a larger global standpoint, does this apply to just developed countries, or do you think, like Facebook, that we should be trying to help everybody connect in a similar way?
Well, I think that everybody's connecting. I think it's great that we're all working on connecting, whether it's Facebook or Google. What I don't like is things like Facebook doing what they're doing with data and where they're controlling it and they're manipulating people. What I like is things like the blockchain, where you have decentralized ability to connect and where people own their own data, because I believe individuals own themselves. It's self-ownership. And so I think what's happening is there are a lot of people with a lot of techno money, people that have become billionaires, and they're working on this problem of bringing the world out of poverty and connecting them, because when we're connected, we solve all the problems of the world. And so I think it's happening, and it's kind of a miracle because of the network effect, that it's really driving us towards prosperity and peace.
Yeah, and it's you can be a behemoth like Facebook, or you can be a one-man band small business owner nowadays and still have the ability to touch as many people.
It's true. It's interesting that I was talking with a colleague of mine up in Canada, and he'd like to start schools and really work with kids that are in places like Africa, places that are really poor. And I said, okay, you're waiting, but why aren't you starting a school on the internet right now? Because you have kids in places like Africa, in the middle of the Congo or wherever, and they have cell phones. And when they have a cell phone, if you have a website with a school, you can literally start your school today. And he just looked at me and he said, damn it, Damien. Because there was no reason for him not to start his school today because of the internet and because of cell phone technology. You literally can serve the planet now.
It's one of those wonderful things. I recall recently seeing an image of a South African teacher. They didn't have a computer, and he was actually drawing to teach a computer lesson what a computer was by drawing every single component of the computer on the blackboard. This is the sort of level of commitment that they have over there. If we can only facilitate the resources through, like you said, mobile phones, it's a changed world.
It is, and there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of resources that are being put towards that, and it's because I think there's an energy shift in people not wanting to necessarily hoard the wealth, but to actually take it and do something that impacts and empowers the planet. It's not like it was back with the Rockefellers or the people 100 years ago where they were just maintaining their wealth for their lifetime. People are really trying to solve big problems. And, you know, finding ways to create a computer that costs $10 and being able to give those to millions and millions of kids and really empowering them with the information that they can take and run with and then create more solutions. So it's I'm actually really optimistic. And I think that the future is a lot brighter than a lot of people would like us to believe. I think we're heading towards an age of prosperity and peace that we've never had before.
So with that said, If you own a large smart TV, should they ever turn it on again?
A large smart TV, if it's connected to the internet and it has a big screen where you can learn a lot, perhaps.
Yep.
I actually threw mine out when I realized that it was listening to me, and that really freaked me out.
Yeah, that's a bit scary, isn't it? But if anybody who's listening to this call would realize that Damien's very insightful, he's got great vision, different ways of thinking. Damien, where can people find you if they want to touch base with you?
The best place to find me is on the site, on DamienLupo.com. And all my stuff is there where people can interact with me and they can see the books that we've been talking about. There's a lot of resources. There's some videos and some downloads that you can get. One of the downloads that's on there is the Reinvented Life Workbook. Mm-hmm. And it really is it's the playbook inside the book. So if you don't have the actual book, you can at least get the questions that are in that book to help you start that reinvention process for your business or for your life. It's the hard questions, because you have to get to the truth if you're going to change anything. Mm-hmm. You can't change a lie. And if you don't know what the truth is, then you're stuck with the lie. So that's the point of Reinvented Life and the workbook that accompanies it. And you can definitely download it for free right there on the website.
And you mentioned that the truth is simple. What does that mean? How does somebody get to that point?
Better questions. I mean, finding the truth is really a question of asking what is true. Mm. And in business, what is true is the numbers. The numbers just don't lie. And we often have to get help because we're just not good enough to ask what the right, we don't have the right questions. As entrepreneurs, we're good at creating our widget or serving people, but we're not looking at numbers to tell us whether or not we're on the right track. We need that feedback. And that's where getting people with domain expertise and certain skill sets to be part of our team is so valuable. Being a one-person operation is incredibly dangerous because we're not seeing the truth that may be coming up to run over us.
Yeah. Well, Damien, it's been my pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for the books. I will definitely be putting all of the relevant links in the post below our call today. And thanks once again for being on the My Future Business Show.
Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate you having me. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been fun having you on the call with us today. Now click on that big red subscribe button and make sure you leave us a comment, share us with your friends, and join the growing list of leading entrepreneurs who have enjoyed their time on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews.